Comments made on the Serotalk Podcast Network are those of the individuals and do not represent Serotalk Corporation, its staff, management, board of directors, or third-party resellers.
Welcome to the Serotalk Podcast.
Welcome to the Serotalk Podcast, your portal to the accessible digital lifestyle.
www.serotalk.com,
a production of Serotech Corporation, makers of System Access, the System Access Mobile Network, and SA2Go. Learn about new technology, cool software, useful websites, education, information, entertainment, user comments, and much more. And now, here's your host, Jamie Pauls.
Welcome to episode number 3 of our 2012 convention special coverage right here on the Serotalk Podcast Network from NFB and ACB. We're putting them together this time, doing something a little different. I'm Jamie Pauls, and joining me once again is Mr. Joe Steinkamp. Hey, Joe.
Hello.
You know, you really have to hand it to the folks over at Digital Miracles. Those folks have done great work with Digitize. And Ricky had the opportunity to visit with Nancy Miracle about that product. Let's jump right into that interview.
What's more fun than hanging out at the public pool?
Dropping your iPhone in the pool?
No. It's convention coverage of the 2012 NFB National Convention on the Serotalk Podcast Network. Get your phone out of the pool, please. Thank you.
Live at NFB 2012 for the Serotalk Podcast Network, I'm Ricky Enger, and I'm here with Nancy Miracle. We're catching up with Nancy about Digitize. Hello, Nancy.
Hi, how are you doing?
I am doing quite well, and Digitize happens to be one of my favorite apps. I've had it since you guys came out with it in, 2010, I want to say, or maybe it was earlier.
You're right. We were one of the first apps on the iPhone 3GS.
Yes, and cameras have improved since then, and the app has improved since then as well. For those who don't know what Digitize is, let's get a brief rundown of what it is and how it works.
Basically, what Digitize does is it reads barcodes, and there's all kinds of things that barcodes might be attached to. The one that everybody, I think, is familiar with are UPC codes, which manufacturers put on their boxes for point-of-sale systems and which identify the commercial things. But we also support QR codes, where you can make your own QR code labels on our website that are text labels or ones that you can use to trigger audio recording.
So you can have all sorts of different labels, and you could put them on just about anything you could think of that doesn't already have a UPC code, right?
Right, because see, what happens is most items are separated from their consumer packaging as soon as they go into use.
Right.
Food often stays in consumer packaging, at least to the point where it gets cooked and turned into leftovers. But other things, what happens when you get them, you unwrap them. So we're really interested in the problem not only of dealing with things that are in its wrappings, but labeling them after they are not in their wrappings in a way that makes sense within people's environment.
When you're taking a look at a barcode with Digitize, and you don't necessarily know where the barcode is located on the product, can you give a few tips on how best to use your phone to find the label with the app?
Absolutely. Now, first of all, I'd advise that you go to our website, which is digitize-eyes.com, and look at the tutorial, because we have a lot of material on this. But the best way to do it is to understand how grocery stores work. And the way the grocery stores work is that the checker takes an item and slides it over a reader. And what that means is that the code is generally on the side opposite where the item opens, which means the bottom in a lot of cases, or the back, because the readers are only underneath and facing towards the checker. So if you understand that you go to your item, you find the part that's going to open, and go to the opposite side. That's the most likely location.
Are there any differences between devices? So does Digitize behave differently with, say, a 3GS or 4 or a 4S, given that they have different cameras?
It definitely does. We were actually developed for the 3GS, and with the 3GS, the autofocus camera is sensitive to vertical motion, so it's a good idea when you're scanning something to start close and move away from it, and if you don't capture it, move back close again. On the 4S, which has a built-in autofocus system that is very sensitive to sharp edges, in a lot of cases, you just need to hold the phone over the items because it'll go ahead and find it all by itself.
Very good. For those who want to get the app and don't yet have it, what is pricing for Digitize?
We have currently divided it into two halves because some people only wanted the UPC half.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to get the UPC half, you could do so, and that's $9.99. If you want to get the entire product, it's $20, $19.99.
And I think it's well worth it to have the ability to both record audio labels and scan existing UPC codes.
I think so, too. I mean, we particularly feel that because we've introduced our washable labels, which are nifty little things, so that you can label things. This is a typical case of post-consumer packaging where you need to label something that's not going to be in its consumer stuff. And you can put a washable label on a container, or you can put a washable label on your clothing, record on it, wash it, hear it, record on it something different, wash it, hear it again.
And these labels are available for purchase on your website, correct?
They are. And if it's somebody who's here at the show, we're offering everything here at the show for $5 less than it is on the website.
Very nice. Once more, for anybody who is interested in either purchasing labels or checking out tutorials or just learning more about Digitize, what is that website?
It's Digit, D-I-G-I-T, dash eyes, E-Y-E-S, D-I-G-I-T, dash E-Y-E-S .com.
Thank you very much, Nancy, for telling us a little about Digitize. And for those of you who don't have it, it is certainly well worth it. Have a great show.
Thanks very much. That's great.
Okay, the KFC, would you like to try one of our tailgate family packs today? Please order when you're ready.
Nope, but I would like some coverage of the ACB convention and a large orange drink, please.
Sir, I'm sorry, sir. We don't sell coverage. Nope. Unless you mean gravy.
No.
You can cover stuff with gravy. Would you like to try some of our gravy today, sir?
No, but you said KFC. I need SPN. They've got the best 2012 ACB National Convention coverage there is. So, thanks anyway, but I'm good.
I'm here at ACB 2012, and I'm visiting with Alex of Irie AT. And Alex, welcome to the Sarah Talk Podcast.
Thank you.
So, what all do you guys have to talk about this week?
Well, we have Braille embossers from Index Braille, the latest version 4. Right here we have the Index Basic D and the Everest D. Both of them double-sided, 100 CPS units. The only main difference here is that one does tractor-fed paper and the other one has a stack sheet feeder, so you can load up to between 50 and 60 Braille pages at once and just keep printing. Then we also have, actually the pricing is, on the Basic D is $3,100, and on the Everest it's $4,200.
Okay.
So very competitively priced Braille embossers for the specification, and build quality is excellent as well. we have the Alva line here, it's a Braille display from Optilec. Same thing here, it's extremely, it's got a very good design, very sturdy, long-lasting Braille displays. People still come up to our booth and say, I have the satellite from 6, 7, 8 years ago and it still works. So we're happy to hear that people like the products, and we hope that this one here will continue the legacy of the satellite. So
excellent.
And then we have the Captain Mobility GPS device. It's here to replace the Captain Plus that was previously on the U.S. market. It has a larger GPS antenna, it has a built-in Daisybook player, MP3 player, your standard navigation modes, pedestrian, car navigation, public transportation. It's got the virtual map so you can explore your area before you go out. You have a free navigation mode, which is it just basically announces what street you're on, what POIs are around you, without the guided navigation. So it kind of gives you a feel for what's around you. You can also record your current location and use something called K-Tag, where you walk outside of your favorite points of interest, be it the store, the doctor's office, and you can just record where you are, and you can always go back to those locations later.
Okay.
It's got 15 hours of battery time, the full US maps on there, and it has some voice recognition features.
Mm-hmm.
It's a talking GPS, obviously.
Right.
It talks to you.
Sure.
And it's $6.99.
Okay. Sounds good. Well, you guys have a lot to offer then. What's the best way for people to get a hold of you and learn more?
Well, the best way to reach us, you can either give us a call, 888 308-0059. You can send an email to sales@irie-at.com or go to our website, www.irie-at.com.
Very good. Well, thank you for taking the time to visit with us today.
Thank you.
Reporting for the Sarah Talk Podcast, I'm Jamie Pauls.
One.
So you saved your money.
14. 17.
But a trip to convention just wasn't in your budget this
94.
Year. No worries. We're bringing the convention to you on the Sarah Talk Podcast Network.
Live from NFB 2012 for the Sarah Talk Podcast Network, I'm Ricky Inger here with Lucas Frank from The Seeing Eye. Hello, Lucas.
Hey, how you doing, Ricky?
Doing wonderfully. So a lot of our listeners are, some of them are guide dog users currently, some of them are thinking about getting a guide dog, and some of them just want to learn a little bit more about the whole process. Let's talk a little about The Seeing Eye. What's the process for somebody who is considering getting a guide dog for the first time and they want to learn a little more about The Seeing Eye?
Well, I think a good first start would be to visit our website and have a quick look around. I think another good thing to do would be to find a dog guide user, preferably a Seeing Eye dog user, but any dog guide user will do, and talk a bit about the pros and cons of working with a dog guide. And I think you'll find that many people are very, very enthusiastic about working with dog guides. So then the question becomes, okay, maybe I want to check this out a little bit further and I want to apply for a guide dog. Where do I want to apply? Mm-hmm. And then it becomes a question of choosing a school. And to do that, again, I think word of mouth plays a huge role. You can also look on the NAGDU website. NAGDU is the National Association of Guide Dog Users. They have some good information there, as does Guide Dog Users Incorporated, another website, which has information about all the schools. And there are significant differences among the schools on policies regarding ownership, follow-up, and a variety of other things. So I think you want to do your homework. You know, if you want to get a guide dog, do your homework. Really look hard at the schools, discuss it with other dog guide users, ask questions on the listservs and bulletin boards that exist for that purpose. And then make up your mind. If you decide to apply to the Seeing Eye, the application process is pretty simple and straightforward. You can do it online nowadays, or you can just get an application in the mail. You fill it out, and part of that application includes references. We would like personal references. Once we have information from your references that say you are indeed a good person and not an axe murderer, and if you are an axe murderer, I recommend you not choose someone who tells us that in your application. Once we've determined that you're not indeed an axe murderer, we will and are likely to be a successful Seeing Eye graduate, we will arrange for one of our staff to come out and visit you, interview you in person, and take a walk with you and see what you need from us in the way of a Seeing Eye dog, and so that we can get a good sense of whether you would indeed qualify for our program.
Whenever a staff member does visit someone and they go through the interview process, what are you all looking for whenever you walk with a person and you're trying to determine what sort of dog may be best for them, or if in fact they are ready for a guide dog? What sort of things do you look at?
Well, we're looking for someone who is already an independent traveler. We're looking for someone who has the orientation skills to direct us around their neighborhood and get themselves out around their neighborhood to do whatever it is that they want to do. We're looking for someone who is active. These dogs, when you get them, are young, working age dogs and working breed dogs, and they need to burn off fuel. They need to burn off energy. And if you're going to sit home, that's not a good thing. Likewise, if you travel but you do it only by paratransit, that is, you get on a paratransit vehicle, get off the paratransit vehicle, and get on the paratransit vehicle to go home again, that may not be enough work for a dog. You need to be able to find a place in your routine, in your life, to give that dog some good, solid, block after block work. That doesn't mean you have to be employed. We have many people who are homemakers. We have many people who volunteer in their lives. But you need to be active and give a dog a lot of work. Those are the two main things that we want. And of course, there are some financial obligations involved in having a dog and taking care of it. Not extensive. I think we think it's about $1,500 a year. But, you know, you have to be sure that you're in such a position that you can take that on. But if you meet all those qualifications, then you and are accepted into the program, then we try to arrange a mutually agreed upon class time. A class takes about a month for a new student who comes to the Seeing Eye, which is in lovely New Jersey, which is one of, as you may know, is a little known scenic hotspot in the country. Only the very, very wise come to New Jersey
That's
for the scenery.
Right.
But if you choose to do so, we actually have a beautiful campus in rural New Jersey, comfortable rooms, and Wi-Fi, telephones, private baths, the whole nine yards, exercise facilities. We're just undergoing a renovation. It's going to be spectacular. And if you do come, then you'll stay with us for a month, be matched with a dog after a few days, and then go through a training process that begins very simply and becomes more and more rigorous and demanding of both you and your teammate as time goes on, and then you go home successfully.
Let's say that someone has had a dog before and they unfortunately need to retire that dog and they're looking for another, but the problem is they're unable to make the commitment to leave their home for an extended period of time. Is there any home training provided by the Seeing Eye?
We have in-home training. We also have split training, you might call it, where someone comes to the Seeing Eye for less than the 3 weeks that a retrain might, and then finishes up that training with an instructor at their home. We are not likely, although it's not impossible, to do that with a student that we don't know well. So someone transferring from one school to another would be unlikely, but not impossible, that we would do that kind of training.
For people who want to know more about the Seeing Eye, what's the best way to contact the school or to read more information?
Our website is www.seeingeye.org, and we have an 800 line, and you can certainly call and get information sent to you. Our phone number is 800-539-4425. Do consider coming to scenic New Jersey for your next dog.
Thank you again, Lucas, for spending a little time with us and talking
Wonderful
about
talking
the Seeing
Eye. Wonderful talking to you, Ricky. Great being at the convention.
For the Saratalk Podcast Network, I'm Ricky Enger.
And that was a wonderful interview that Ricky got with the gang at Seeing Eye. Little known fact, Ricky actually had a problem with her dog's harness. And the guys at Seeing Eye and Guiding Eyes were extremely helpful in helping Ricky resolve that issue. Guide Dog Users of the World Unite. It was very awesome to see how all of that worked. And, we had a lot of great compliments from other vendors who were happy with our previous coverage, who were thrilled to be a part of our coverage. And it just is the testament to you guys listening to this to say how much you liked it, what we're doing and how we're doing it, that have really made it possible for us to continue doing it. So once again, we love doing it, and we love being able to go to convention and being able to provide you this information. And Jamie enjoyed being able to go to Louisville and talk to other people, didn't you, my friend?
I certainly did. That was actually my very first convention. So as is often the case with Sarotech, it was a quick trip because we have a lot to do. We get in there and we visit with all of the folks, and then we come on home and get the content ready for you to listen to in a timely manner. But I really enjoyed being able to be at convention, and I enjoyed being able to meet some people that I had never met, or even in some cases never even heard of. That's the case with this next interview from Scentsy Flameless Candles.
I'm here at ACB 2012, and I am visiting with Rod of Scentsy Flameless Candles. So, Rod, welcome to the Sarotalk Podcast. Since I'm standing here, I can smell lots of good smells, but of course our listeners are not able to do that. So why don't you go ahead and tell us what's here?
Well, we're, first of all, the best smelling booth in this conference.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Probably the only one. And that's because we sell Scentsy Flameless Candles, and we have one that's lit up right now with some wax melted in it, and that's why it smells so good.
Right.
That's how we do the candles. They're flameless. There's no danger of fire or anything. The wax is melted by having a small light bulb underneath the bowl that holds the wax.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the different sizes, there's a small one that plugs into the wall. Mm-hmm. There are others that have cords.
Okay.
And costs for the warmers go from $20 to $35, the most expensive one.
Okay.
the wax comes in a small plastic case. I don't know exactly what to call it, but there are eight wax segments in the little box. And you, depending on the size of the warmer, you pick one or two of these little squares of solid wax, put it in the warmer, turn it on, and even before it melts, the smell is really, really delicious, delightful, and lovely, as the song goes.
Yeah.
And there are more than 80 different scents.
Wow.
Then if you like flowers, or there are dessert scents even, like blueberry cheesecake. Mm-hmm. There are scents like clean clothes, clean linens.
Right.
And you put the wax in the warmer, turn it on, it melts, and it will last much longer than the scent of a regular fire-burning candle.
Excellent.
And there is no fear of flame or harm from these things. You can even knock them over, and if the wax is melted in the top, you have a little bit of a mess, but no fire.
Okay.
And if the wax is cold, you have only thing to worry about is whether you broke the warmer.
Right.
Or not.
Right. Okay. Excellent. What's the best way for people to get more information about you guys?
Well, we have a website. It's Safe Candles, KY.
Okay.
No, no spaces, no hyphens or anything.
Right.
Safe Candles, KY, as in Kentucky.
.com. Okay.
And my wife Linda is actually the sales consultant for Scentsy.
Yeah.
Actually, we also have a new branch outline of room sprays with all of the same scents that are available in the waxes. And we have hand sanitizers, bath.
Okay. So you have a lot of products.
Oh, yes.
Quite a few things.
They all smell really good.
Excellent. Well, I'd like to thank you for taking the time to visit with me today.
Well, thank you for coming over.
I'll encourage our listeners to go check you guys out.
Oh,
Save
yeah.
CandlesKY.com.
Excellent.
Reporting for the Sarah Talk Podcast, I'm Jamie Pauls. This is Jamie Pauls here at ACB 2012, and I'm visiting with Dave Kronk of Travel One. So, Dave, welcome to the Sarah Talk Podcast.
Well, thank you.
So, you guys are all about cruises, right?
Yes, we are. What's good about it is, first of all, I'm a full-service travel agency, so I can book anyone, anywhere on the world.
Okay.
Okay, but what I do that's different is I actually do a couple trips a year as far as cruises that are geared towards the visually impaired to make things easy and accessible for them.
Uh-huh.
And that. So, for instance, one of my normal things that I would do is that, for instance, before we set sail or before we depart for the cruise ship, you'll receive via email the ship's climatics, you know, where everything's located on the ship. You'll receive the menus in advance. And then once we get to the port of call, if you want to, you can fly in the day before the cruise. And if you do that, I'll meet and greet you at the airport and everything, get you transferred to the hotel where my wife will then check you into the hotel and get you to your room and get you all settled in. And then the next day, what will happen is that we'll do a private transfer to the ship. Once we get to the ship, we'll get checked in, get on board, have lunch, and then we'll do a tour of the ship. So that way now you can find out the layout of the ship and where everything's located and that. But I also put the menus in Braille and large print for the cruise ship because they do not do that. I also put your last name and cabin number in Braille and large print on the cabin door to make things a little bit easier as far as accessibility.
Okay.
We also have our Braille bingo cards, so those like to play bingo and everything. But once you're on board the ship, you're pretty much on your own, okay? Mm-hmm. However, I'm kind of like a safety net. Should something come up or you need something or whatever, you can give me a call and I'm there to take care of it.
Sure.
In the evening, we all pretty much have dinner together for those who want to. And that's where I'll make my announcements to let you know what we're doing that evening, who wants to go to the show, who doesn't, you know. And then the next day, say we're getting off the ship, then that's where you're with me on a tour.
Yeah.
And then we're able to get off the ship together. And then so then once we get back on the ship after all of our tours and things that we're going to do, you're pretty much back on your own unless you need something. The one thing that's good is that the cruise line provides me with a cell phone, which you're able to get a hold of me then 24/7. Should there be a problem or you need something, that's great. But the other thing is I fill out all your paperwork. And the paperwork you're going to need before the cruise, I print all your documents out and everything. I fill out all your debarkation information and everything. So everything's pretty much handled for you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's your vacation, but you can do as much as you want or as little as you want.
What cruise line do you work with?
We've done Carnival, Costa, and Norwegian Cruise Line.
Okay.
And that. The one coming up right now, for instance, December 1st, is on the Carnival Dream. Mm-hmm. And then we have one next April 13th, which is an 8-day cruise, on the brand new ship Carnival Breeze.
Okay.
And then we're looking at doing probably in the future Canada, New England. And then we're also looking at doing a trip out of, Stockholm, mm-hmm. Copenhagen area, okay. to do the Baltic Sea. So those are some things that we're looking at coming up from the future also.
Excellent. I know prices vary. Is there a ballpark of what a cruise would cost?
Yes, it is. For instance, the one coming up in December, to give you an idea, you're looking at a price for an interior cabin of $989 per person based on double.
Okay.
But that includes the cruise, port charges, taxes, and gratuities.
Right.
If you wanted a private balcony, you're looking at about $1,259 per person based on double.
Okay.
So really, the prices aren't that bad right now.
Sure. All right. Well, thank you for taking time to visit with us. What's the best way for people to get in touch with you?
They can give me a call at 618-409-0143, or my email address is D for Dave, and my last name, Kronk, K-R-O-N-K, at htc.net.
Very good. Reporting for the Sarotalk Podcast, I'm Jamie Pauls. I'm here at ACB 2012 with William Hoos of Vanda Pharmaceutical. And Willie, it's been a while since you and I have spoken, but it's good to talk to you again.
It's great to talk with you as well. It's good to be here. Good to see you.
So you guys have been doing some great work, a lot of research. How's that going?
The research is going well. We are expecting to have the results of our study at the end of this year or at the very beginning of next year. We have basically finished the recruiting for the clinical trial that's ongoing.
Okay.
But we continue to spread awareness of non-24-hour and help get the word out that it's out there for all those who may be suffering but haven't heard of it.
Right. So I assume you had a lot of good responses from people, lot of interest?
Yeah, we've had a lot. You know, so we've had a survey ongoing where we donate $25 to ACB or another organization that supports blindness for anybody who takes a survey.
Okay.
We've had over 1,500 people take the survey.
Excellent.
12,500 of those have been light perception. And one of the things that we've learned, so that survey, a lot of those people have gone on and been in the clinical trial, and that's what's allowed us to finish the recruiting for the trial.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the other things that we learned that we just presented recently at another at a sleep conference a few weeks ago is that for those who went on to the diagnosis process for non-24-hour, 70% of those who are totally blind had non-24-hour. So, you know, while it's not that common in the general population, in totally blind, 70% are suffering. So if someone who's totally blind or you know someone who's totally blind is having any sleep issues, mm-hmm. there's a good chance that it could be non-24-hour, and they can visit our website and learn more or talk with the doctor and help spread awareness.
Okay. Excellent.
And our website is 24sleepwake.com. Mm-hmm. You can sign up there to keep updated on other news and things that we're learning from the study for anybody interested in following us.
All right. That sounds great. I'm glad that you are doing what you're doing and be anxious to see the results of those studies.
All right. Well, thanks for the interview today.
Thank you.
Any other questions, sir?
I think that we'll probably get it. I would definitely encourage our listeners to go check out the website and continue to keep in touch with you guys. So thank you very much.
Okay, and thanks for all the podcast listeners that have called in and participated as well.
Very good. Reporting for the Sarotalk Podcast Network, I'm Jamie Pauls. This is Jamie Pauls, and I'm visiting with Ron Miller of Freedom Scientific. And Ron, first of all, welcome to the Sarotalk Podcast.
Well, Jamie, thanks for having me, and welcome to Freedom Scientific Training Land. We're over here in the training booth at one side of the exhibit hall at ACB, and we've captured you. We may not let you go.
So I don't suppose there's anything you're excited about this week at all, right?
No, very boring, very bland
yeah,
here.
Yeah, right.
That's right. It's one of the things we're getting, letting people have hands-on, and you've experienced that, is we're debuting the Focus 14 Blue Braille display, and we've just released the Focus 40 Blue Braille display, and we have those here, and people are putting their digits all over them, believe me.
And I was one of them. I will not bore our listeners with my little playing around session, but it is quite an impressive product. Why don't you go ahead and just kind of give us some highlights, though?
Oh, sure. We've actually done some serious refinement of the Braille displays. People who are familiar with the current Focus 40 Blue, when we hand them the new Focus 40 Blue, probably 90-something percent of them, their first reaction is, wow, because it is smaller. We literally reduced the size of this thing by 37%. I jokingly tell people we wet it, starched it, and ironed it, and it shrunk. It's just a smaller display. And we've refined the keyboard. One of the most exciting things about what we've done beyond the size reduction, to me, Jamie, is we've changed the feel of the keyboard. We invested a lot of time, ran a lot of users through my office and our vice president of hardware, Brad Davis's office, and doing tests and watching people and what they were doing. Our engineering folks stood around and watched people use the devices to get a really good idea of what kind of keyboard would let you Braille for long periods of time on these things. I mean, well, I believe you're an iPhone user.
Yes.
You know that, you know, after the iPhone 3GS came along and VoiceOver sort of burst upon all of us,
right,
the playing field changed. The landscape of how everybody's using their mobile devices changed. And all of a sudden, a Braille display went from being an output device with keys that you kind of sent occasional commands in with to an input-output device. Apple iOS very happily supports contracted Braille in. Beginning with JAWS 12, we have JAWS Braille in, which gives you contracted Braille input and computer support, so you can drive your computer from the display. So all of a sudden, the Perkins keyboard and the other controls became really important, much more important than they used to be. And you know, when we sat down and said, what are we going to do? How are we going to make this better? One of the things I pushed for, Jonathan Mosen pushed for, both of us being dyed-in-the-wool Braille users or Braillesters, as John DeFrancesco, who used to be head of the Braille Revival League for ACB, used to call us all Braillesters. You know, we wanted a Braille display with a keyboard you could sit in Braille on for a long time, and it's quiet, it's comfortable. Both of those are very important. You want that comfort, and you don't want to sound like you're playing castanets as you're taking notes. So
right.
You want quiet as well. So those to me are highlights.
Okay. I don't suppose there's much you can talk about as far as Apple and iOS go right now because you are playing with Beta 6. Is there anything you can tell us at all about usability and what it's like?
I'm under the big NDA.
Yes. Yeah.
What I can say is we're definitely working with Apple, iOS, and with the Code Factory folks, and it is just a great experience.
Okay.
And I think people are going to be very happy in the near future.
What is the price point on both the 40 and the 14?
It's a great question. The Focus 40 is at the same price as before. It's $2,795.
Okay.
And the Focus 14 is $1,295. And we are doing our regular 5% hardware discount at the shows.
Right.
And I should have that figure memorized, and I'm not a mathonaut, so I don't.
That's okay.
This is kind of a neat year to be bringing out the Focus 14 and Focus 40 because it's the 25th anniversary of when the Braille and Speak was first debuted,
mm-hmm.
way back in 1987. And given the size of the Focus 14 and the part it plays, especially with portable devices and taking notes and sending messages and all that sort of stuff, we're kind of celebrating that 25th anniversary here at the convention by offering a 10% convention discount on the Focus 14, which brings its price down to $1,165. Just because, I don't know, I thought it would be a cool thing to do because of the 25th anniversary. And if you feel that Focus 14, it's smaller than the old Braille and Speak was.
And, you know, the first thing that goes through my mind is, gosh, would I want to use a 14-cell Braille display? But looking at it, it really is compact. Talk to us about using that product.
Okay. Not that I'm, you know, revealing any information about stuff, but
right.
Using it with an iPhone is a or any smartphone or smart mobile device is a great experience because you suddenly have a device you can pack away with you. I literally could carry it in my shirt pocket. I mean, you can lay a dollar bill across this thing and it covers up all but a fingertip's width along the back edge. So it's portable enough to carry. My phone lives in a leather case on my belt. I can throw this around my shoulder, and we ship it with a case that's a use-in case. And I like using it with speech turned off The display stays on. I never turn it off because it'll run for more than 20 hours, so that if my phone wakes up with an alert, a notification, if it rings, it finds my Braille display. I put my hand down, just flip the case open.
Yep.
I can read the caller ID. I can send and receive text messages. I can sit in a restaurant and do Foursquare and find the menu on Foursquare on all the menus, all that sort of stuff. And it's enough cells to be able to read, but still in a small enough package to be able to carry unobtrusively and use unobtrusively. And the beautiful thing, Jamie, as a blind guy, is I'm no longer holding the phone up trying to listen in a loud environment where my attention is gone from the group that I'm with. And I don't have a thing in my ear, or I don't have a phone clutched in my hand. My ears are out in the environment. Mm-hmm. My ability to interact with everybody is still completely intact, and I'm reading just like a sighted colleague or peer would do what's on the screen of the phone, while my attention can still remain outward.
So not designed to read War and Peace.
Exactly. Exactly. You stole my punchline.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's funny.
It's not designed to read War and Peace. And as a confirmed Braillester, I was thinking more is always better.
Yeah.
But I found it is pretty cool. I can read very quickly, and it lets me do it one-handed and still work all the controls on the unit, and my fingers never come off the Braille line.
Right. Very impressive. Well, I realize that JAWS is not your area, but I know that you guys are talking about JAWS 14 a little bit. Is there anything you can tell us right now?
You know, I am not the JAWS guy. I'm the hardware guy. I get to paddle in the software pond when it comes to Braille translation and other stuff.
Okay.
So I sat through Eric Damery and Jonathan Mosen's presentation from last week, and I know Eric talked about JAWS 14 and Windows 8, and they're working hard on Windows 8 support.
Right.
Those kind of things are in the works. There are some, I guess, new voices that are available. But honestly, I'm a heck of a weak reed to lean on for JAWS stuff. I wish I could delve more deeply into it. But
I just had to ask.
Sure,
you know that.
No problem.
Yeah. Well, listen, thank you for taking the time. I suppose everyone knows your web address, but let's go ahead and give it anyway.
Absolutely. It's www.freedomscientific.com. I would encourage people to go check out the FS casts.
Yes.
We do those, and there's some neat material on there. You actually get to listen to my sort of dulcet voice from the May FS cast talking about our Braille displays, and of course, June is coming up. And sounds like Jonathan just got free. If
it
you
does.
To take a minute and
all right.
Grab him real quick. And it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you. Well, reporting for the Sarah Talk Podcast, I'm Jamie Pauls.
And we thank Freedom Scientific. And again, all our friends who came on board and let us interview them on a very crowded and noisy show floor. And it was really great to be able to get out to Dallas and Louisville to be able to bring you the coverage from both conventions here on SPN.
And I know I'm a dyed-in-the-wool Serotech employee now, because I am already looking forward to our coverage from ATIA 2013. And it's not that far away, really.
No, we will be around the corner looking at our convention coverage for 2013 of CSUN and summer conventions next year. Orlando and Columbus, I do believe.
I believe that is correct.
So we still have more to come, and possibly even some other coverage of events as we did with Google I.O. with JJ and Anna, who will be talking about it on that Android show. And of course, our other shows like Triple Click Home, End of Line, High Contrast, and Zeroespectives this month in Assistive Technology, where they too are going to have a wrap-up show of the summer conventions. And the cool thing about Zeroespectives, it's not us talking. It's actually other people like Steve Sochin and his guests, and they give their opinions about what they felt was big news coming from the conventions. So definitely keep it right here on the RSS feed to SPN and our other shows, because we'll be bringing you more timely and informational content to come.
Stick around to the very end, because Patrick's going to tell you how to get a hold of us. Thank you for listening, folks. Thank you for joining us on this three-part 2012 convention special.
You've been listening to Serotalk. Visit us at www.serotalk.com. Send us an email at resources@serotalk.com. Send us an iReport with iBlink Radio, available in the Apple App Store and the Android Market. Or leave a voicemail at 866-997-BLAB. That's 2522. We may read your email or play your voicemail in the next podcast. Join us next week as we explore all that life and the internet have to offer. Until then, may you have an accessible digital life.